The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning again, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming in with us and joining us this morning. We are pre-recorded this morning. Robin and I are at National Hunting and Fishing Day up in Washington County at the Isaac Walton League up there on Independence Road outside of Hagerstown. And, you know, if you're not doing anything later, come on up and join us. Everything kicks off at 10 o'clock. We'll be there with the Maryland Hunting Coalition. And great raffle going on with that, and you can come up and see us on that and hear about the coalition, and then stop by the booth next door, which we will have Mr. Fred Horn, a veteran deer and Poon and Crockett scorer, to score our bear skulls for an enterprise called Bucks, Bears, and Stags. And it's a new scoring system here in Maryland. The system is 100 years old, but the enterprise is brand new. First time we've ever scored bears here for the record book in Maryland, so we hope to see a bunch of bears up there, you know, and have Fred busy all day. So if you have a bear, if you're taking a bear in Maryland, bring your skull along. I know you don't, you know, that's not stuck in the bear rug or in the shoulder mount. It comes separate, and bring that skull along and have it scored for the record book. So joining us right now is Brian Eiler, our deer project leader here in Maryland. For, are you the leader or the manager?
I am. I guess my title is Deer Project Leader.
Leader, I got
we
it.
We are really manager. Good morning.
Hi. How you doing? Welcome
good.
Back.
Good.
Been here. You've been here a few times over the past few years.
A few.
Yeah. And I hope you. I hope to have you back here on the opening day of deer season, or maybe before that. You never know.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. I think the next time I have to surprise John with this. I think the next recorded show is going to be October 21st in the early muzzleloader season.
Yeah. Be down good time there. To be in the woods.
Yeah, man. You ought to see the sickest stags I've got. I'm looking at. I'm hunting in Dorchester this year. Actually, a couple days before the show airs, I've got a 4-point fella showed me on the camera that's about 15 or 16 inches tall.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah. A 4-point is 4-point's a interesting stag, a mature stag that only grows 4 points, is a pretty cool looking animal.
Yep.
So, especially when they get that tall,
probably has some big eye guards.
Huge,
if I had to guess.
Huge. Yep. Yes.
They either seem to put a lot of growth down below or a lot of growth up top, but or you know, or they even it out. So
exactly.
Yeah,
and I'm sure we'll talk about some sick of deer here as we go on today. Yep. So, but let's talk about early season. Now, here we are, September 23rd. The season's been in for a little over 2 weeks. And what are you hearing out there?
Well, I tell you, we had a great, of course, we're pre-recorded, so I only have a week's worth of data, the first week's worth of data to go off of right now. But we had a great first week. So
weather was fantastic.
Weather was perfect. We had that was the coolest opening day we've had for quite a while.
Yes, if I recall.
So if you look at, you know, if you compare it to last year, it was a lot hotter last year. So, you know,
96.
We had a lot stronger opening week this year compared to last
sure.
year. We were up about 40%. But,
wow.
But by the time, you know, there's a lot of deer hunting left, so obviously.
Sure.
And, you know, and it'll probably balance itself out as we go.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
good.
But we took, I think we took around 2,800 the first week.
Wow. That's not bad.
No, good start. Definitely a good
not
start.
Not bad. Yeah.
So,
very nice.
A lot of good pictures, or a lot of pictures of good bucks.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them still in velvet. So it's, the guys are definitely, and gals are definitely taking advantage of that earlier opener.
And you've got a couple of Sunday opportunities either coming up, I guess, pretty soon here in Kent and Montgomery counties that are, are going to be helpful as well.
You're right. Yep. That's new this year. Some of our counties have had, you know, they've had all of October to hunt for quite a while. But, yeah, that's new for Kent and Montgomery.
So, yep, exactly.
First Sunday in October, we'll be able to get out there with archery equipment. So,
let's get this out there. Let's get this out there. You know the numbers better than anybody, okay? You've got deer management permits, which allows the farmers to take deer pretty much any time they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the Sunday hunting.
Right.
Are the numbers getting anywhere close? I mean, it used to be no deer checked in on Sundays or very few deer checked on Sundays, you know, back in the early 2000s when 2003 was the first Sunday. And I don't know how many deer they killed statewide in the 10 counties on the first Sunday of November. And I killed one. I killed a 9-point. First deer I ever killed with a crossbow, first buck I ever killed with a crossbow. It was a 9-point on the first legal Sunday you could hunt in November of 2003, I believe.
Yeah, it was 2003. It was,
yep.
You know, and like you said, you know, the first model, there was only a couple of Sundays available.
Yeah,
you know,
two Sundays.
Archery and one with firearms,
right.
Basically.
And, one day and one day, exactly. First Sunday
and, you know, and over the years, the legislature slowly opened that up. You know, we don't, you know, just to put it out there, you know, we unfortunately, DNR doesn't set Sundays.
Right.
You know, that has to come. You know, we have to be given that authority through legislation.
And that's all local legislation.
Yeah,
comes
local
county
legislation.
By county.
So that's why it's been kind of a work in progress.
Sure.
As far as the Sundays that happen. But as for getting back to your original question, it is about equal now. We take about as many deer on Sundays, the max, there's a handful of counties that have 13 Sundays
right.
They can hunt. So we take about as many deer on those few Sundays as we do year round on crop damage.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Got it. Well, has the 2016 deer report come out yet?
Yes, it is out.
It's out
online. If you go to if you go to dnr.maryland.gov and search annual deer report.
Will anybody have any of those at the event on Sunday or Saturday?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, we will have several cases of them there.
Good. 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 Good.
Yep. Yep.
Very nice. I'll grab a couple.
That's a tough one. We would love to get that report out earlier,
sure.
But it takes us a while to get through the data. It also takes a while to get the trophy deer contest results, and then.
Well, guess what?
Should
bucks, bears, and stags go where we want it to go? That should be an instantaneous.
Well, that would be great.
Deal.
So yeah, that would be great. It works now, but you know it works fine now. But
sure.
That's why the report comes out in the summer, is because it takes that long. And then not only that, but our producer that puts that together does our annual hunting guide. And, of course, the annual hunting guide takes precedence over.
Sure. Yeah, really? I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, but,
I got it.
So, yeah, it is out. And yeah, it will be available at National Hunting and Fishing Day.
Good.
So.
Good. Look forward to getting it. So.
Yeah.
Good. So 2,800 deer the first week of the season. That is probably, double? What we've been shooting?
That was probably double what it was last year.
Oh,
but it bounces around.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
I mean, it's not a record. I mean, you know, if you look back, we've had higher harvests during the opening week. Not by much, but we've
right.
had
this,
high.
This is one of the good ones.
Yeah. So it bounces around, yeah, just in a lot of it is weather dependent.
Well, I can tell you, the last 3 years it's been in the 90s. Because I've
yep.
been in the stand the first day the last 3 years, and
yep.
yes, it
and,
has been hot.
And a lot of hunters are like me, and I'm getting pretty wussy, and I don't hunt that when it's that hot.
Out of your mouth, not mine,
yeah,
brother.
Yep.
Now I haven't been out since, but
yeah,
you know, and you know, the weather has rebounded a little bit. I mean, it was 76, something like that, the first day. Now it's in the 80s in the evening again, and it's
yeah.
you know, it's just a little uncomfortable out there.
It'll probably slow down a little this week.
Sure,
so,
no yeah. doubt, no doubt. So,
and that, you know, and that not only does that weather impact the hunters, but it impacts the deer as well.
Sure,
so, yeah,
sure.
And then how they move. So.
Exactly. Well, we saw 63 deer the first evening, 18 different bucks.
Yeah.
Three shooters, nothing close enough. So
yeah.
That's the way it goes. That's
yeah.
the way it goes. So, all right. Well, that's
good. Rough.
That's, yeah, that's kind of, it was rough watching that 10 point at 60 yards.
You saw more deer in one evening than what a lot of your hunting buddies in neighboring states will see all season.
Exactly right. So. Exactly right. Oh, it's tickled to pieces to see it. And I mean, some giant does, a lot of fawns. And I said to Laura, I said, we're going to have to do some management here pretty soon. So maybe muzzleloader season. So
sounds like you need to take some does.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. But plenty of deer. So anyway, let's see. Deer season is in. Any accidents so far this year? Any falls from any tree stands?
I have not heard of any. But that doesn't mean there hasn't been any. But I have not. None have come across my desk yet. So yeah,
right.
Keep it safe.
I heard of one.
Okay.
Rumor only. Guy fell out, broke his pelvis. But I don't, and it was up your way somewhere, but I don't know for sure. So I haven't seen any reports on it.
Yeah. Wear your trees, wear your safety harness. You know, when you're climbing up, when you're in there, and when you're getting down, please wear your safety harness.
And that is the beauty. That is the beauty of National Hunting and Fishing Day this year. If anybody attends, they can see a demonstration of how to stay safe in your tree stand.
Right. And, you know, and these systems have gotten a lot more user-friendly.
Sure.
You have a harness that basically is a vest, and, there's just really...
I got a pair of coveralls with the harness built in.
Built in, yeah.
You know, and I love it. I mean, it's just a perfect... for me, it's perfect. Of course, I've got a couple of harnesses. You know, my grandson's always strapped in. Laura's always strapped in. Anybody that's in a ladder is always strapped in, so it's all good.
Just happened. You always think it'll never happen to me, but it can happen quick.
Can happen very quick. You're right. Got it. Well, and make sure you use that prussic knot system. The line from the ground to the top.
So. Right. Have it on when you're going up and coming down, because a lot of the falls aren't while you're in the stand. It's when you're either getting in or getting out.
Getting in or getting out. Yep. So first step and the last step. That's for sure.
So and make sure you know your target. And all the standard safety requirements that go along with hunting.
Exactly.
Keep them in mind.
Exactly. Now, it being bow season, of course, there's no requirement for blaze orange cap or anything like that unless you're in a ground blind.
Correct.
And then you need to put the orange square out there. What is this? Do you remember the square inches on the orange? On the
250.
250 still. So it's
the same requirement as if you're wearing.
Right.
Yeah, if you're in the blind.
Got it. 250 square inches. Always good to put that out there. Let people know that you're in the stand and that there's nobody being stupid out there in the woods.
Correct.
So. All right, Brian. Well, what's new in deer management? You're going to be attending, and I think you went to the Southeast Deer Conference not long ago.
Yeah. So we actually belong to there's numerous governmental organizations. Basically, there's a Midwest Deer Group, there's a Southeast Deer Group, there's a Northeast Deer Group, there's a Mule Deer Working Group, etc. But basically we belong to the Northeast Deer Technical Committee, and we belong to the Southeast Deer Study Group. So the Southeast Deer Study Group meeting, that was in Alabama this year. And they typically in the Northeast move around from state to state, but basically it's an opportunity for the deer project leaders, biologists, managers, whatever you want to call us, we get together once a year.
Right.
And we, compare notes, what's going on with the deer herd in your state, what's the hot topics, or provinces, the Northeast, we include Quebec, Ontario, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia.
Sure.
Prince Edward's Island. So we get a real broad perspective.
That's where you're going to be.
And, we're heading to Ontario next week. So, National Hunting and Fishing Day, we'll be sitting in Ontario or on our way to Ontario.
Good for you.
It's a really good deal. It really gives us a good perspective on deer across their range and what we may be facing down the road. They may be dealing with something that we will be shortly, and vice versa. It gives us the opportunity to share our perspective with deer management and what works and what doesn't.
All right, look, we're going to take a break here shortly, Brian, and I'm going to ask you to just hold on.
Yep.
And when we come back, we'll talk about one of those challenges that you're facing. The press release that just came out on epizootic hemorrhagic disease.
Good old EHD.
EHD, yes, sir.
Or EHD, yep.
You got it. All right, we'll be right back, folks. I want to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. Everything you could need, want, or imagine for hunting. If you got a, you need a new scope, go pick one out. They've got a number of different scopes that are great. I mean, I love the Leopold. I've got the Bushnells. I've got the Nikons. You name it, they've got great optics at Clyde Sports Shop. Guess what? They know how to install them. They have all the bases and rings. They've got a full-time gunsmith. They can do all the gun repairs. It's time to get that all done. Don't wait till the last minute, you know. Don't be like the cartoon, you know, where the guy brings his gun into the gunsmith and he says, if I wanted it yesterday, I'd have brought it in yesterday. Nope, that's not the way it works. Get it in there now. Get your new optics. Get your new firearms. They're a full-line Browning dealer, and they've been in business 60 years, so they know exactly what they're doing. They've got all the ammunition. They've got the equipment. They've got, well, you name it, they've got it, or they can get it. Clyde Sports Shop, they carry that great Browning ammunition, too. That's all brand new. 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. That's Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. Now, let me tell you where else you can head for some great deals on archery. No question about this. Look, there's a lot of bows on sale, a lot of crossbows on sale, and a clearance sale in particular on Hoyt bows at Chesapeake Outdoors. Listen to these brands. Barnett, Mission, Ten Point, Excalibur, Carbon Express, and the all-new Raven crossbow. Some of those bows are on sale at great prices. For you vertical compound bow guys, they're the Matthews Solo Cam dealer, one of the leaders on the Eastern Shore with Matthews Solo Cam. They carry the banded camouflage clothing for waterfowl and deer hunting. They carry the Under Armour camo as well. Firearms and ammunition by Remington, Chiappa, Escort. I know, maybe you never heard of these guns, but go take a look at them. Muzzleloaders and accessories for Thompson Center and CVA. All of that. They carry the great Yeti coolers, the Bubba Blade knives, waterfowl calls, boots, you know. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. Route 50 East, exit 39B on Kent Island. That's right. And by the way, our best to our manager's son, who was in a rollover accident here beginning of the week, and best to him and quick recovery on that. Fell asleep, hit a pole, rolled it over. He's doing good, though. He's doing good. So just want to mention that and send our well wishes out to John and his family. So anyway, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road. That's Kent Island, Maryland. That phone number, 410-604-2500. Exit 39B, Dominion Road, Kent Island, Chesapeake Outdoors. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, lived a girl that I swear to the world
made the alligators look pink. Don't try that. You got your granny.
We're back with Brian Eiler, the Deer Project here in the state of Maryland. We're talking about the early deer season results, a little bit on Sunday hunting. But press release came out, Brian, on actually encouraging and asking hunters to look for, when they're out scouting or hunting this year, to look for deer that might have died by unknown circumstances.
Yeah, we're experiencing a hemorrhagic disease outbreak this year. Nothing new.
No, not the first one. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, you know, we generally lose deer, honestly, every year to hemorrhagic disease, but it is cyclic, and every, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, sometimes sooner, sometimes a little longer, we'll get a significant outbreak, and we're going through that this year. Looks like mostly from the reports we're receiving, it's mostly on the eastern shore this year. A lot of reports from Kent, a lot of reports from Caroline, Dorchester, kind of that middle eastern shore. Few reports from the western shore as well, but it seems like the eastern shore right now is what's getting hit pretty hard.
Yeah, it normally does. I mean, one year, if I recall, you know, we had deer floating in the Chester River, and, you know, they go to water source. Explain a little bit about what EHD is, where it comes from, and how it affects the animal.
Yeah, so it's hemorrhagic disease, epizootic hemorrhagic disease. You may hear it called blue tongue, which it is different from blue tongue. It's different strains of the virus. It acts the same way, but blue tongue is because one of the results is that it pulls oxygen from the blood, so the animal's tongue actually turns blue,
right,
when it dies. But so it's spread by noceums or midges or gnats. Coides is the scientific name, but it's just viral.
Common.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Common.
Yeah, very common.
Yeah.
Very common. And so it's viral. Doesn't spread from deer to deer. You know, has to be bit by one of those gnats. And the hypothesis has been for quite a while that it's worse in dry years because it congregates deer near the water sources that are left, and also there's probably more mud areas for these gnats to breed. But this year is really an anomaly because it hasn't been dry.
No, anything but.
No, and but I think it's just been, we've been overdue for a good outbreak. So I think it was going to happen.
Or a bad outbreak.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, going to happen regardless of the weather conditions. But
if you look at a close-up, and you can see this online, if you look at a close-up of one of these gnats, they bite just like a mosquito. They're bloodsuckers.
Yeah, exactly.
And they fill up, their abdomen fills up where it actually almost is, where you can almost see through the abdomen, and it's all red. It's all
right,
full of blood.
Right. They're feeding on, they're just like a, you know, mosquito feeding on blood for the for
right.
Their, you
know. And then through their saliva, I guess they inject this virus into the deer.
Right. So, and it's a fast acting virus. It's a matter of days after they're bit, that they're dead, basically. Now there are some that survive it.
Yeah.
And there's some that are genetically, you know, that are resistant to it. If you kill a deer this year during the season, and it has nasty looking hooves that are, you know, sloughing off and peeling, that's a good sign that was a deer that had HD and survived. Nothing wrong with eating those deer.
Right.
Like, again, it doesn't impact the meat. There's no human health issues with it. But
kind of a swollen face sometimes too.
Yep. Sometimes, yeah. There's a number of different symptoms. But, you know, in localized areas, it can kill a lot of deer. You know, in Delaware, they had a study going on with unrelated to HD, but they had deer radio collared for another study a few years back, and it killed 50% of those deer in that area. So it can be pretty high numbers, but we have plenty of deer, and deer bounce right back. So, you know, I mean, you may see it in the harvest this year, but normally in a year or two, you'll never know that you had an outbreak.
I know Southern Maryland got hit hard a couple of years ago, and they noticed a big drop in deer sightings and everything else, and now it seems to be back
to normal. It can take a couple of years, but
sure.
But we've had reports, we've had reports now of, and this is just what's getting back to us, but we've probably had over 100 deer now that have been called in, whether it's a couple, or, you know, if some people were finding 20, you know, or 25. If it's an area with a lot of deer and it's hit hard.
Right.
But a lot of times you will find them near water because that hemorrhagic disease, it causes a fever. And so, you know,
they want to cool off. They want to get in the water. They want to cool their body temperature. And what's happening is their capillaries are bursting. Their walls of their
blood vessel walls are breaking down.
And it's, you know, as you said earlier, it's every off the air. You said it's just about every organ.
Yep.
So it can lead to catastrophic failure of the whole system. Very quickly, and it's a sad. That's a sad way to go. And anybody that watches these television shows, you know, where these guys are out hunting out west, and I mean Wyoming, Iowa, Illinois. You know, it's not just here in Maryland or coastal areas or anything like this. I mean, anywhere where these gnats are found, anywhere near water. You know, I think it was it Milk River had a big kill out there, and you see deer floating along, big giant trophy bucks, and everything else, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be sex specific. A lot of times you think it's just it's hitting bucks harder, but I don't think that's really the case. I think it does hit equal, whether it's a female or a male.
Right.
But yeah, it can hit them hard. But the interesting thing is it traditionally was a disease of the Southeast, and it has definitely slowly spread. To the west and to the north, and Michigan a few years ago made the news with a big outbreak, and western Pennsylvania made the news a few years ago, and what when it gets into those areas, there is a high percentage of those deer populations that are not genetically resistant, and it really can take a lot of deer in those areas.
Right. Where here in Maryland we've gotten hit so hard.
We've had it for a long time.
Yeah, and some, like you said, some of those deer have. I don't know if you survived. Does that mean that you pass on that resistant genetics to the next generation?
Possibly.
If you were pre-built
with that resistance, it's very it's possible you pass that along to your offspring as well.
Got it.
And then it quiets down for a while until that proportion of unresistant deer builds back up, and then it comes through again. But it's been around for a long time. New Jersey was actually the first state to identify HD in 1955.
Wow.
It's been around for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have plenty of deer. So it's just one of these things from Mother Nature that we deal with.
From the Southeastern Deer Study, quality deer management people attend, and they report back on some of the stuff. What do we learn that we can apply to Maryland here? And I've mentioned this on the air. They did some studies on doe with fawn movement. You know, people during the fawning season will see deer out in the fields in the middle of the day. Can you talk about that at all? This is from the Southeast Deer Study Group a couple months ago.
So not in
regard to the movement of does and fawns midday to avoid contact with coyotes, whether there are any here in the area or not. You remember that study?
No, I did not see that study.
Ah,
I'll be
okay.
Very honest with you.
Okay. Well, the way the report went was that some state somewhere reported that people were wondering why the does and the fawns were so active during the middle of the day, and they tended to conclude that it was to avoid the early and late movements of coyotes,
that
prey on the fawns.
Okay. Well, there have been studies. Was that a recent study? Because there has an error where they reported on past studies. There have been studies in the past that hypothesized or theorized that does happen. I mean, it's plausible.
Sure.
Being in the middle of a field with your fawns may get you away from coyotes, but what other predators is it exposed to? I don't know.
Yeah, I get it.
So it's plausible. It could be. We have a good population of coyotes in the state, no question about it, and we have hot spots.
Well, you guys introduced them.
Yeah, we did.
State Farm, if I recall, encouraged
or propagating these rumors, Alan. Come on.
I have debunked those rumors as many times as I possibly can. So.
Yeah, The rumor typically is that that somebody saw the 18-wheeler at the truck stop loaded with coyotes, and the only thing that changes is the state where they saw it, you know, whether it was Pennsylvania or Maryland or Virginia.
It was on its way here, wherever it was.
Yeah. So, and they all have ear tags from, you know, from State Farm. So,
yep.
But no, coyotes have gotten here on their own. Delaware and Maryland are the last states to get coyotes, actually. You know, they were a western species that have slowly expanded their range. One of the reasons why they've expanded is because of wolf control. Wolves are a major predator of coyotes, and when wolves were controlled, it allowed coyotes to expand. So, but we are getting them from down from the north and up from the south.
Mm-hmm.
And they will take a few deer, especially, they mainly will predate fawns in the spring, but there are a lot of states, you know.
Why, Brian, I believe that's the first time I ever heard you say that.
What did I just say?
A few.
Oh, no, I think I've always.
Really?
They'll take a few, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing what any predator does, so whether it's a fawn or a squirrel or a small
sure.
mammal, you know, I mean, they're opportunistic.
Yep.
But no, I mean, you know, there's, you know, coyotes have been around for many, many years, and deer have been around for many, many years, and I don't think deer are going to be the demise of deer in Maryland.
You being the biologist would know this term better than I do, but normally the prey species, as far as their breeding and reproduction, is far, far higher than the predator species, and there's way more prey animals than there are predators, and I don't know what that dynamic is called, but it's just a fact of nature that there are more starlings than there are peregrine falcons.
Right.
Yeah.
And with deer, if you think about it, I mean, you know, deer breed the first 2 weeks. They all breed the first 2 weeks of November for a reason. And the reason is that they all give birth to their fawns within a real short window,
mm-hmm.
you know, in late May, early June. And that saturates predators.
Yeah,
so, you know,
exactly.
I mean, predators can only take so many of them. And then, you know, once, you know, you get a week or two under the belt, the fawns are big enough, they're mobile.
Yep.
And that gets the rest of them, you know,
yep.
away from predators. Got so it. They're actually showing, you know, there's a few studies that I'm aware of that you know, the results aren't out yet, but that are showing, you know, fawns die from a lot of different things.
Oh, no doubt.
And a lot of it's not predator. You know, it's a rough life out there for a fawn.
Well, no question. No question.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear that when you finally get that report. So.
Yeah, but how many deer did you see opening day?
Yes, I know. And we also heard him shooting on crop damage permits at the orchard.
Right.
You know,
right.
A couple of shots over there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But we were in the hot spot because there were three other hunters in the field, and, you know, they saw 6, 8 deer, something like that, a couple of small bucks. But, you know, we happened to be at the right place
right.
at the right time. So.
Right.
Hey, Brian, give me a minute here. I got to take the next break, and then we'll get back to you with some closing remarks, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, folks, Chesapeake Outdoors. Look, there's some archery stuff still on sale there, some crossbows in particular. Now, I believe they still have some Parkers left, but Excalibur, Carbon Express, 10-Point, Mission, Barnett, they've all got some models that might be on sale, and the clearance sale on all the Hoyt bows. That's Hoyt Archery, Hoyt. If you're getting into it or you want to need a new bow, you can get one at a great price there at Chesapeake Outdoors. They also have the new Raven crossbow. These are hard to get. These crossbows are almost impossible to get because they have become so popular, and it's because of the technology. A number of dealers are having tough times getting certain models, but, you know, check with Chesapeake Outdoors if you want one. Order one and get it in, and you know, take a while to get it, but it'll have your name on it anyway. But Remington, Choppa, Escort Firearms, Muzzleloaders by Thompson Center and CVA, Camo Clothing by Bandit and Under Armour, Waterfowl Calls, Decoys, Steel Shot, all kinds of gear, all kinds of boots, you name it, it's all available. Yeti coolers and tumblers and Bubba Blade knives. Don't forget those, too. All at Chesapeake Outdoors. They're located right off Route 50 at Exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island. That's in Chester, Maryland, of course, right across the Bay Bridge, Kent Island. That phone number is 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. For the first choice of Eastern Shore Hunters and Anglers, that's Chesapeake Outdoors. One more time, Clyde Sports Shop. Look, fall fishing is great, and crabbing is still going on. It might be one of the best times of year to get some big crabs, that's for sure. If you need any kind of tackle, any kind of rod and reel repair, any kind of new line, any lures, any terminal tackle, hooks and weights and swivels and sinkers and all that stuff, bobbers, Clyde Sport Shop has everything you need for fishing, everything you need for crabbing, trot lines, open top crab traps, crab bait, fishing bait, seasoning, steamers, you name it, they've got it all right there at Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. They've been around for 60 years. And by the way, they have a 24-hour fishing hotline. That number, 410-247-3474. 247-FISH for that 24-hour fishing report. Clyde Sport Shop, 60 years.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Good news in the tropics with Jose and Maria, staying far enough east off the coast to not provide any worrisome impacts like north wind for us this afternoon. And first official weekend of fall is going to feel warm here in Baltimore with upper 80s for this afternoon. Mid-60s for tonight, upper 80s near 90 tomorrow. Sunshine close to 90 degrees on Monday. Tuesday, sunshine low to mid-80s. And really not until late next week that we see some cooler numbers, more seasonable temps. I'm Scott Laurie Moore, the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let's begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Does your name rhyme with Auld Beagle? Do you dart in front of cars? Here's a tough one. Do you have plumage? Do you rub your body against things to mark them? Do you have webbed feet? No, I mean like a... Were you hatched? Do you have fur? I'm not talking back hair. Does your boat fly south for the winter with the other boats? Regardless of how you answer, you need to be licensed and registered because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free. We don't make a party out of loving.
We're back with Brian Isla, the Deer Project Leader from the Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service. And Brian is going to be attending the, what is it, the Northeast Deer Conference?
Northeast Deer Technical Committee.
Okay.
NEDTC.
Yeah, you guys have acronyms for everything. There's one acronym I want to talk about, though. It's SIKA, Sika Deer. We've got them in, Maryland.
Or Sika Deer.
Sika. Yeah, I call them Sika Deer, but, you know, they're actually very, very healthy because anything and everything that grows in the marsh, they can eat. And that is where we find them primarily is in the marshlands of the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
Yeah, lower Dorchester County is the hot spot.
That's the epicenter, right?
And then over on Assateague Island as well.
Mm-hmm. So, the state record came from Wicomico County, though, Brian.
Yeah, I tell you, right on the other side of the Nanticoke, there's some really good Sika deer, or Sika deer over there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right. That's where the record, one of the records came from.
So. Tim Krause with the 8-point Sika.
But we are seeing some really, some really good animals in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
And that population's doing really well, like whitetails.
Where are we? Where are we with the population?
Probably 10 to 15,000
mm-hmm.
now. It's hard. They're, like you said, they're a secretive deer. They're a little harder to get numbers for because they're in such a smaller area. But
right.
It's probably 10 to 15,000. We harvest 2,500 to 3,000 a year now.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably looking at a population 10 to 15,000.
Got it. Expanding their range, too.
Yeah, slowly, in recent years we've seen kind of they're getting out of that southern Dorchester area. We've had reports as far north as Kent County.
I've heard
of young stags probably, moving out, trying to set up new territory.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like where they do end up, it's still that they like that wetland habitat, whether
sure.
it's, forested, thick, wet, marshy type areas, but so they still tend to seek those areas out when they move out of southern Dorchester. But yeah, we are seeing some movement.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Got it. Well, they're a very interesting critter to hunt. They're very, like you say, kind of secretive. The primary movement, unless it's during the breeding season, is very early morning where they leave their beds in the hardwoods and little hummocks and they head out to the marsh. And, you can sit there in a deer stand 30 minutes before daylight and hear them splashing out through the marsh. And when you wait, when the light shows, there's nothing in front of you.
Yeah.
It sounds like there might have been 50 out there,
prior.
And they're gone.
A little more nocturnal than whitetail.
Yeah.
Really good to eat.
Excellent to eat.
Most people you talk to that have had them prefer them over whitetails as far as taste goes. But
Robin actually is encouraging me to take Sika deer this year.
Yeah.
More so than whitetails.
Yeah, but a little better taste, preferable taste, and a little more tender, I think.
Yes, they are.
Meat-wise.
Yes, they are. No question.
Yeah, they're really good. So,
really
good population. They're a lot of fun to hunt. I would encourage anybody that hasn't hunted them to give it a try.
Mm-hmm. A lot of public land, actually.
Yeah, Fishing Bay, Wildlife Management Area, Taylor's Island. There's Chesapeake Forest Land, Blackwater Refuge. I don't know. There's probably, 75,000 acres down there to hunt?
Probably, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of, there's a lot of territory down there that's public land, and it's good hunting.
No question.
And after you get, you'll have the typical public land pressure the opening days, but then there's a lot of days during the seasons when you have the place to yourself.
Exactly.
And it's a little buggy, so if you
it's a lot buggy. It's a lot buggy.
Make sure you have a bug jacket and then maybe a thermosel.
No. Make sure you have a thermosel and maybe a bug jacket. Maybe two thermosels.
Some way to do a blood transfusion when you're done hunting.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So, but no, it is it's a neat area, and they are a neat deer to hunt.
A couple of years ago, 10 years ago now, we did a 2-day sick of deer hunt at one of the farms down there, and you'd be familiar with it down on Elliott Island Road, big farm on the left there. And it was out the first morning without a thermosel. 85 mosquito bites on my both hands.
Yeah.
That afternoon I had a thermosel.
Yeah.
And the next morning and the next evening I had a thermosel, no more bites. So,
they
yeah.
They work. Yeah, they're, as long as it's not too windy that it floods out the thermosel.
Exactly.
They work really well.
Very well, yeah. So.
And they are needed. I've worked down in that area quite a bit, and I've had mosquito bites every month of the year. Even January and February.
Sure. Interesting. Sitting there one day, there was snow on the ground. You get to the heat of the day, and you get towards evening, and you look, and the mosquitoes are crawling out of the bark of the trees.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, give me a break. So.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, same type of situation. They're a little bit more difficult to take because they're a lot smaller. They're harder to trail because of the habitat and how wet it is.
Yep.
And the fact that their fur is more dense than a whitetail.
Yep.
And there's like a downy layer of fur under their guard hairs.
Yeah.
And it tends to soak up the blood and clog a wound. So you just got to be real careful with that.
Yeah, they're a little more challenging. The ones I've taken, I'm not an expert seek hunter by any means, but yeah, seems like you tend to trail them a little further than you do a whitetail.
Right. So, unless you put the good shot on them right there. Yep. But the bow hunting guys, the guys from Ultimate Camo were down in Dorchester the first weekend. I think they four
yeah,
guys
I saw
took
some pictures from that.
Yeah, I think yeah, they took yeah. like eight deer, four
yeah,
stags.
They had a good opening weekend.
They had a real good opening weekend. Yeah. Yeah. So we're familiar with not only the Ultimate guys, but also the guide service that they use down there as well. So it's all good.
Yeah. So, I was down last week and did a FLIR survey with Blackwater Refuge. They're doing some population work estimates. And,
okay.
We saw quite a few good deer on Blackwater.
Really? Okay. Numbers where you want them?
We saw plenty of deer. I'll put it to you that way. You know, they're running several months worth of surveys, and then they'll use some fancy statistics to estimate population.
Oh, a computer model, like tracking a hurricane?
Computer model, yep, tracking a hurricane, yeah. So, yep, Hurricane Zika. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the most sick deer I ever saw out was, you remember Hugo?
Yep.
We were on Chincoteague and the lower end of Assateague and took a drive the evening before Hugo hit that night.
Yeah.
50, 60 sikas out in the field and some beautiful, beautiful stags out there as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that's another good hunt for Virginia if you want to get in on that refuge.
Indeed,
So, indeed. Very good. Well,
yeah, they herd up in the winter months, January, February, and I've seen 60 and 70 of them at a time.
Sure.
Their populations, their numbers are doing really well. Mm-hmm. So we don't have as liberal of bag limits as we do for white-tailed deer, but we are pretty liberal on sika deer too.
Indeed.
But the average hunter takes 1.5.
1.5.
They're pretty tough to hunt. Yeah.
They are. They're more difficult to hunt. I had a big
successful hunter takes 1.5. If you add in the unsuccessful, that number drops
way down.
So,
I took a 5-point with the rifle last year.
Yeah.
And my goal the last day of the firearm season in Dorchester County, we had 10 inches of snow on the farm I hunted. And my goal was to take a big big hind that I had been seeing on one stand every time I hunted it. She was just huge, you know. And so I get down to the farm, and the landowner says, "Oh, my daughter killed a great big hind off stand last night."
She took your hind, huh?
I went, well, okay. So, yeah, that one was going to be in the freezer, but you know what? Yeah, we had a good year anyway.
It's interesting, just real quick touching on that, that this different size variability you see in some of these animals, it seems like a little more so than whitetail deer. I mean, I'll have adult hinds that dress at 45 pounds, and I'll have adult hinds that, like you said, like these big ones that are like, you know, 85 or 90
yeah.
pounds dressed.
Yep.
So you can get some really big ones. But on average, you know, 50, 60 pounds is a good one for a female, for a hind, yeah.
My first sickened deer I ever saw live was a 6-point. And that fell on the heels of watching a 5-point that had been shot that I had the scope on. I said, "There's a deer." Heard the guy shoot. "There's a deer. There it is. Okay, take two more steps, and I'm going to drop you." I didn't care if it was a buck or a doe or what it was. It was a sick of deer, you know?
Yeah.
And it took one step and fell over.
Okay.
Yeah. So I said, well, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
But the next deer out was the 6-point, which I was fortunate
Good
enough
deal.
To take 30 years ago.
Good deal.
Yeah, and that deer dressed 89 pounds.
That's a good one.
I was happy with that.
Yep,
very happy with
one.
That. So, yeah. So.
Yep,
anyway. All right. Well, we got 1 minute to go, Brian. Thank you for filling us in on the sick of deer. Thanks for informing us on EHD and the early numbers, and we really enjoyed it. Any last-minute tips for our hunters out there?
I do, actually.
So good.
Real quick, there are a lot of acorns in the woods this year. We do mass surveys every year to gauge what, you know, how things look.
Okay.
Get off the bait. You know, if a deer will walk right by a corn pile to get to acorns.
Right.
So if you're sitting on your corn pile and not seeing deer, it's probably not because there's no deer. It's probably because they're on acorns. So find an oak tree, preferably a white oak tree, and hunt it, and you will see deer.
You got
so
it.
That's my tip for the season.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for being here today, buddy, again. And
yep.
we'll invite you back, of course, and, you know, we'll talk more about our abundant deer population.
Yeah.
Although we're down about a third, you got to admit that over a decade.
Oh yeah, you know, and by design, you know, I mean we had too many deer, and in some areas we still have too many deer.
Right.
But yeah, we have lowered numbers down. And,
yep.
And the harvest is lower. We're
sure.
in the mid 80,000 range, you know, now in the harvest, still a very strong harvest.
Sure.